The first, of course, condition of repentance is that we should feel some remorse. We should feel sad. We shouldn't speak about a sin that we did and we say, no, it was good. You know, I did this, I used to do this, and speak good of it. And even with human beings, we have this quality, meaning there must be some remorse. Like, I teach in the Islamic school, and I have kids too. So many times you see this scenario. Let's say Zayd hits Talha. So you say, Zayd, tell him you're sorry. Sorry. No, say it like you mean it. Sorry. Then you keep telling him, you want to see that remorse. You should feel sorry. Now, if you wreck someone's car, for example, you gave me your car, whatever. Oh, okay, the sheikh's here for a day. Go ahead, take my car. I have a rented car, by the way, so I won't ask anyone's car. But if I wrecked it and said, I returned the keys and said, man, dude, it was a bad accident I was in, and whew, you don't have a car, here you go. I'm sorry. You would be like, oh. You wouldn't accept it. I mean, this is human beings. You wouldn't accept it. Like, you don't feel sorry. Shit, that's my car, you know? The same thing. So if this is with your parents or with your colleagues or with human beings that you should feel sorry and you even don't hold it, then you don't consider it being sincere unless you feel that remorse. Then likewise, more so with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a sin that you committed against the one who created, the one who given you all these blessings, then you should definitely feel that remorse. So you should have that remorse, and along with that, the second condition should be that you leave it. And perhaps you could actually mention this as the first, that you leave it. If you really are sorry, then you don't, then you stop doing that sin. If it's drinking or if it's what have you, then you should stop doing that sin. And then you should be determined never to return to it again, even though you might return to it, or it may be even the same sin. For example, let's say someone was, and a Muslim doesn't get bit in the same hole twice, though. So let's say that someone, he didn't pray on time because he was watching a basketball game. So he should be careful. The next time, okay, this is a basketball game, let me pray and not fall in the same hole again. He might get fooled again, but maybe by a football game next time, you know, but not by a basketball game. No, I'm joking. But the point is that وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And we have been created weak, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to repent, but we should make sure we fulfill these conditions. The remorse, the leaving it, being determined not to return to it, and making sure that we do the repentance before it's too late, before we're on our deathbed. Meaning before the soul exit the body, or and before the sun rises in the west. And if it's a sin dealing with a wrongdoing that you have done to another human being, then you need to rectify it. If it's some money that you have stolen, if you're really remorseful, then return the money. Okay, I don't have the money. Try to pay it back, or try to rectify the problem. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're almost finished, He mentions وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And that is, and those who do not witness falsehood, and if they pass by vain or evil talk and play, they pass with dignity. This is a difficult description also. That sometimes you're passing by, I've seen this even in the masjid, a conversation. They're talking about boxing match, or they're talking about this. For example, I was listening to the radio. You have this SEC or this title game, right? Georgia against LSU or whatever. So I'm start. You heard your colleagues. They're talking about this. What do you think about this running back and this and this? And they're engaging in just vain talk. Nothing really done to benefit. And you start engaging it, and next thing you know, your whole lunch was gone. Or you could have easily read the Quran a little bit or did some type of good. But this is, maybe you could say, little compared to what they really engage in. They're talking about, okay, this movie star married this person, or she's with this person, or she's wearing this new dress. Did you see this? Or something. Do you see this new movie, this rated R movie, or what have you? Most of the time, it's not only it's vain, but it's evil. And not only there's no benefit, there's harm in it. And many times we, like I said, find ourselves easily attracted to that situation. And we should try to protect ourselves from that. And you'll find many, in this situation, many people will blame other people. No, he's the one who started talking about it, and then he drew me into the conversation. Even if that's the case, you shouldn't, I mean, you should guard yourself and don't blame that person. I mean, you bit the bait. But the Ibad al-Rahman, they pass by those type of conversations with dignity. If there's someone talking about this new rap artist or what have you, or this new song, they pass by with dignity. They don't have time. Oh, so where did he produce it? Who what was the studio? What studio he don't ask. Sometimes you try to make this small talk just to show that you're cool. I've heard that with your colleagues. No, they think I'm so weird, I'm a Muslim, whatever. So I'll just ask them some questions about irrelevant or stupid stuff. But I mean, don't do that. But maybe you should, and this is a beautiful way to enter da'wah. I mean, ask them mention some of the harms from these things, the harms from these concerts, or mention what do you get from it? And just from that, lure him into a good conversation. And this happens all the time. For example, a lady, she comes into work wearing just horrible, provocative clothing. So a conversation is, man, that dress looked good, but the dress last week looking. And then you start talking about the dress code of Islam. You know, in Islam, you know, this is not permitted. And you know, then the Ibad al-Rahman, they are intelligent people. They're not drawn into their evil conversation, but they draw other people into conversations of da'wah. And this is how many people became Muslim, from the Muslims drawing them into an intellectual conversation. But if you don't draw them, when are you going to get the opportunity? You're going to be constantly talking about U2 and LSU or Atlanta or Georgia forever, and not that I ever get the opportunity to talk about something which has benefit. And those who, when they are reminded of the ayat of their Lord, fall not deaf and blind thereat. Very beautiful ayah also. And that is that the Ibad al-Rahman are people, when you say call Allah and call Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it affects them. How many times you told people, you know, you made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like this, or the Prophet said this, no impact, or it doesn't have any effect on them. But the Ibad al-Rahman, if you say, if you remind them of Allah's ayat, of Allah's evidence, of Allah's signs, you talk about even science, the beauty of the human body. You talk about, they're saying that they just took a picture of some new, or some galaxy that's six light years away. And you just start to imagining how far that is and how vast Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dominion is. And what I mean, everything affects that person, even if it's something not directly related to ibad. It's not something directly related to Islam. Everything will have an impact on the Ibad al-Rahman, especially and more so if you said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you should do this. If you're doing something haram, the Ibad al-Rahman, when he finds out that he's doing something wrong, it affects him. He doesn't act like one who is deaf and blind. It has some impact. So if we're from those people, we definitely need to correct this characteristic. And this is a very beautiful verse, and that is وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Now this is a very beautiful verse, because the Ibad al-Rahman, and this is almost at the end, it's only two more verses left. Listen to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's almost finishing their qualities. Actually, this is the last quality that he praises them with. Amazing. They are people who, they ask Allah, they make this dua again, to bestow on us wives and offspring that are the comfort of our eyes. And who will be the comfort of the eyes for the Ibad al-Rahman, except more Ibad al-Rahmans, right? So, subhanAllah, the Ibad al-Rahman are people who called, not only do they submit themselves, but they called others to submit to this Beautiful religion. There are people who are truly trying to better the community, are truly trying to call humanity to the truth, and truly are concerned about others and love for their brother what they love for themselves. They're making, this is the last dua, this is the last thing that, or description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them with, is that they are, the ibad al-Rahman, are trying to have compound growth. We think that this psychology and all this stuff that we learn in college and in the corporate world, we think that this is new stuff. This is old. They are working on this compound growth. They are trying to produce more. They're trying to leave behind people who will better the world. So also the true description of the Ibad al-Rahman, that they want to produce a family who is righteous, or a family that is righteous, and people in a community that is righteous. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals it by saying the fate of these Ibad al-Rahman. He just went through all these things that they did and did not do, or they do and they don't do. And then أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًا وَمُقَامًا. Unbelievable, very emotional verses. These people have these qualities, which we say take work and are difficult. They will be the true winners. They will have the ultimate reward, for they will be rewarded with the highest places in paradise because of their patience. So we always fantasize about having these nice cars or a nice wife, especially the nice wife part and a beautiful wife and what have you, kids. And we always constantly, but we're going to, inshallah, if we become of the Ibad al-Rahman, can you imagine this? We're going to have whatever we want. You can't imagine that. Whatever you want. And then Allah says, Khalidina fiha, forever. You can't imagine that. 60 years, hold strong for 60 years. Restrict yourself, refrain for 60 years, and you have eternity. What a deal. What a deal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you. That these Ibad al-Rahman, even though most people looked at these people as being rejects, being losers, being having no money, you're closing your mouth, you're not returning the speech, you have no dignity. That's what most people think, that you have nothing, but the Ibad al-Rahman has everything. Because they will have the ones who will be fanned, if you want to say so, or shade, whatever you can imagine will be theirs. They will be the true winners. And it's amazing that those people who are boastful, the Ibad al-Rahman have more reason to be arrogant, right? This is what they're getting. Excuse me. They are the winners. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began by saying that they were humble. They're the best of humanity. The best, the cream of the crop, but they're humble. And you had these people who they were know nothing. They were trash. They were garbage. They're a disgrace, and they were boasting. Amazing how things get switched. And this will also satisfy the heart, but you're going to have to wait. I mean, you do not have to wait to see that. Now you may be insulted. You may be called all these names, but one day the victory will be yours, and it will be sweet indeed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you get these descriptions, you will have this place. You will have whatever you want. It's because, bima sabaru, because of your patience, because of your holding back, because of your giving zakah, because of your being generous. Then you will, and all these other descriptions, holding back from engaging in those speeches or what have you, then you will have this. Therein they shall be met with greetings of peace. The angels will greet them, congratulating them. I mean, amazing. You enter paradise and the angels are saying, yeah, you did it, you made it, Muhammad or Ali or Abdul Bari or whoever. And they're saying, salam, peace. It's good. It's all good from now. There's no leaving. Whatever you want. No war. No pain. No sorrow. No tears. No end. Peace. Man. Now, you have all these movie stars. They have these people clapping and saying, woo, all this. But imagine the angels are greeting you and saying, peace. Man, that's awesome. Much more than these drunk fools, you know, screaming and what have you at the LSU or Georgia game, probably, or what have you. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, what an honor. I mean, you could be having these, like I said, people cheer you on in this dunya, and they're really, they have nothing, but you can have, or you can be a true winner and have the angels do this in the hereafter. Then Allah says, excellent is an abode and a place to dwell. They are the true winners. And he ends it by saying, ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما. قل ما يعبأ, excuse me, قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم إلى الآخر الآية, to the end of the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that which will happen to the believer and then the disbeliever. Say, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the disbeliever, my Lord pays attention to you only because of your invocation. This shows you the importance of the dua. That just because you make dua, even though they're calling on others besides Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays attention to them only because of their dua. But now you have indeed denied him, so the torment will be yours forever. So basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this surah al-Furqan with a very beautiful ending that ends it after going through the description that the believers will have paradise and the disbelievers will have disgrace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this. We believe in it, but we just now have to apply it. And if we want this paradise and we want what comes with it, because it's a lot of hard work. So when you're saying, man, this is a lot of work, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you what you will get if you put in all that work, giving you incentives. So, inshallah, let us work hard to be of the Ibad Rahman, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and make us acquire the qualities of the Ibad Rahman and make us do those things that the Ibad Rahman do and are participating in, and make us refrain and stay far away from those things that the Ibad Rahman are staying far away from. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.